Let him
in that land where saints will never
die. Yes, we're gonna sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah by and by.
Amen. Amen. And good morning to everybody.
Morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? God is good, isn't he? Yes, and we thank him for blessing us to be here today. Do you love God? Well, let's sing y'all like you love God this morning. I really love the Lord. Sing it if you mean it. Who will I really love the, yeah, Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me, and he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Well, I love him. I really love the Lord. And thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. And that's why I love. Yes, I love. Yes. And you don't know what he's he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly honored guest. Thank you so much for visiting with us. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you also for joining us in our worship service. We hope and pray that we can say something that may touch your heart, something that will help you this morning. If you have a question, you need to talk to somebody, call a number on your screen. We'd be more than glad to talk to you, to pray with you, to listen to you. More than that, we'd love to see you at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We know you're close enough. If you're watching this television program, you're close enough. If you're able, providentially, there's one thing to watch us on television, and that's good. But there's nothing like being here in the place. Isn't that right, church? Amen, amen. We are today, we're going to attempt to give our final lesson of our Jesus examination series. Let me correct that. Actually, tonight will be the final lesson. So those of you that come back tonight, you may hear the final lesson. The Lord says the same, but we have thoroughly enjoyed delivering this series. I don't know if you've enjoyed listening to it, but we've enjoyed studying, and I got to tell you that I really kind of, for selfish reasons, this series wasn't put together to tickle your fancy, if you will. I just want to make sure, as a preacher of the gospel, that I make sure that I preach the main focus of the message of the gospel.
Amen.
And so I'm not trying so much to please. You know, we as preachers, we got to try to make our lessons so that you don't go to sleep. You know, that they are interesting. But and sometimes we do that to a fault, because, you know, preachers can try to entertain folk and you're not giving them any substance.
Amen.
And you go, you leave home and say, we had church today. But what did you learn? Did you really glorify God? And so this series really honestly was more about being pleasing to God than trying to tickle us. And but at the same time, I know that those in here this morning who love the God, who love God, and who love the Lord and want the truth, nothing but the truth. And so I know you with me. I know you're on the same team. Don't say it if you're not this morning. And I want this is lesson, actually, the 10th lesson. We couldn't examine Jesus without examining his death. And so I want you to join me this morning in John chapter 10. And you know, all of you, especially those of you who study your Bibles, you know that this is not an exhaustive examination. We just don't have time to cover everything. Our Lord knows. I wish we did. It's not exhaustive, but we're trying to cover the highlights and make sure we examine this from a perspective that we want to understand. Those that already think we know Jesus, we want to know him better. Those that are searching, it's enough information that you can make an educated, knowledgeable decision on whether you're going to either serve him or reject him. Because ultimately, that's the choice that we make after we listen to anything. Some of us go to timeshares, and we go to hear presentations, or business presentations, and you're sitting there, and they want you, after they present this, to make a decision. You want in or you want out. Amen. And that's an invitation we try to deliver every Lord's Day, every opportunity that we get. Listen to John 10:17. And yes, this is as serious as it gets when it comes to Jesus, because it comes to the climax. It comes to the ending of his earthly ministry. Many of you are familiar with it, but let's examine it a little closer. I was studying this. A question came, you know, did Jesus have a choice? We know that he came to this world to die for us. And I was reading some things, and see, the question came up, did he have a choice? And listen to John chapter 10, verse 17. For this reason, and some passages are self-explanatory if we would allow them to speak to us. For this reason, the Father loves me. Now, not that God already don't love his son. You know, God loved his son before Jesus even said this. But he says, for this reason, what reason, Jesus? He says, the Father loves me. He loves me even more. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. Mm-hmm. Notice this. Understand this, if you study this, if you believe in the Bible, and you're studying and you read this, Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus made the decision to lay down his life for us. And you study it a little closer, you see, notice, let's read a little further. No one has taken it away from me. He said, no, what it mean? What does it mean, nobody? It means what it says. No one has made me do this. And you can see why for this reason, he loves me. You know, Lord, you know, you got children. You know how you got raising children, and you trying to train them, and you trying to train them to work, and you trying to train them to brush their teeth, and trying to train them to wash their face, and train them to do their chores, and train them, and you have to tell them every day, done, did you brush your teeth? Did you wash your dishes? Did you do your job? Did you cut the grass? Did you take out the trash? And you just tell them, you have to tell them, oh, it seems like every time you look up, you got to tell them, and then one day you get up. One day you get up as a man and you have a boy, and you hear the lawnmower quake up. Amen, somebody. And you haven't said nothing. Ha! And you see your boy with his hat on, with his tennis shoes on, cutting the grass, and you didn't say, and you say, that's my boy. Yes, Lord have mercy. You see your daughter standing over washing the dish. Do they wash dishes? They still wash dishes. I know they got dishwashers, but she washing the dishes, and you say, look at my baby. And you didn't tell them nothing. The Lord loves. I lay down my life. Nobody is taking it from me. Then it says, let's continue to read. But I lay it down. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. On my own initiative. Now I'm telling you, I somehow knew that, but I didn't know it. And I hadn't. But Gary, it was God's plan. Yes, we know the passage. For God so loved the world that he gave. Yes, it was in God's eternal purpose to give his son. But even God asked his son, this is my commandment. I want you to lay down your life for the whole world, that the whole world will be saved. And Jesus had, it was in him to do it or not to. He said, listen to what else he said. I have authority to lay, I got the power to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Then he says, this commandment I received from my Father. Yes. Yeah, I received it. He told me to do it, and I listened to my dad. There's nothing wrong with listening to daddy. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with listening to daddy. It's beautiful when your children listen to you. And you know, I'm sure you don't, you ever see, read it in the New Testament, you study this about Jesus, you don't ever see him having this back and forth. Well, Lord, is there any other way we can do this besides? Or I don't know. Now, he did when it was time. It was time for him to die. He did say, Lord, if it's your will, please let this cup pass from me. He did. He was human, fully human. But he accepted this from God. And you know, sometimes it comes down, and I know we're intellectually studying this, we're looking at the scriptures, but there's some things. That's why this message is as simple as can be. There's some things you got to just simply take God at his word. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, you know some, especially young people today, they question everything. I mean, everything. Why we have to do this? Why we have to do this? When is that? Why does church have to be at 8 o'clock and 11:15? Well, because the elders said it that way, and the elders have authority from God, who are overseers of the church. Yes, it could be at 9:30, 10:30, 11. We can have church at 3:30 in the afternoon. If we have it at 3:30, somebody says, "Why we gotta have it at 3:30?" Yeah, Jesus said, "I receive this commandment." And he did. And I just, you know, if just, should we be saying, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not being one of the rebellious. Thank you for not being argumentative. Thank you for not being selfish. Thank you. And he could have. Some of you smart, some of us smart. Well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Listen to Matthew chapter 25, verse 53. Matthew 25. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, it's Jesus, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Even as Jesus was going through the process of getting ready to die on the cross, Jesus said, listen, don't you know all I got to do is ask my daddy? Yeah. But then he also, at the end of this passage, he says, but how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? which say that it must happen this way. He says, but if I did that, that would be being selfish. And then how then would it would make my father alive? And I'm not about to do that. I'm going to fulfill my mission. Ooh, Lord. Boy, that takes some strength. Oh, that takes some strength. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that the Lord didn't ask Brother Gary to do that for everybody. Because, church, I can say this in my heart. With everything I know about myself, I don't think I could have done it. I think I'm too weak. Because I know I hit my finger with a hammer and the world just ended. Lord knows if somebody stuck a nail. Lord, my Lord. Philippians 2:6. I'm going to end on time. Who, although he existed in the form of God, talking about Jesus, and we're focusing on his death, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He that's why I know it's almost like, you know, it's almost like God is his son, and it's like, well, Jesus, this is the task at hand. This is what needs to be done. And he's there, he is God. He's in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He is God. And this is the task. And Jesus, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man, being formed in appearance as a man. Notice, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. See, the humbleness, the humility to be a Christian is obedient humility. See, this, he says, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Notice it. Here it is again. For this reason. See, and you got to understand this about as we examine Jesus. See, when we stand before God, God will be justified in how, what he deals with us. Why? Because he gave the ultimate. And Jesus is there, and he says, for this reason. He said, Jesus humbled himself, even death on the cross. He says, for this reason. Listen to this. This is the message. This is the message that every preacher of the gospel should echo over and over and over again. God highly exalted him. See, first of all, I wouldn't have asked my children to do nothing like that. And it seems cruel. It's cruel to somebody, for somebody innocent. And he says he's highly exalted him. He says, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Everybody say Jesus. That is the name which is above every name. I know, you know, we name our children all kinds of things and places and people and grandmothers and sisters and beautiful. We love, nothing wrong with that. But don't misunderstand this. There is something in a name with God. And Jesus' name is above every name. Everybody. A lot of great people. Mohammed. All of them. Don't compare to Jesus. Notice this, God has exalted him above every name. And it says, so the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. I was thinking, you know, we wear the cross as a symbol, as a reminder of the price that Jesus paid. Isn't that why we wear it? Those that wear the cross. But I don't know if you fully understand. If you fully understand, it is a reminder. Some people, but you know, some people wear the cross and you know, they do the cross injustice. But see, the cross was shame. It was shame. The Jews didn't die on the cross. Jews, it was a Roman practice, Greek practice, that died on the cross. It was so shameful. Jews, they didn't do that. But here, Jesus, he dies on the cross. And see, like, would you wear an electric chair? You know, remember the electric chair? They don't still have, do they still have an electric chair anyway? I think it was outlawed. You wouldn't wear a little chair on your neck, would you? You know why? Because it's shameful. You know, most people that die in an electric chair, it's because of a crime, right? Now, notice this. These Pharisees, these leaders, they charged Jesus with the crime and said that, and they justify hanging him on a cross. Would you wear a hangman's noose? You know what that is, don't you? Would you wear a symbol of a hangman's noose around your neck? No, you wouldn't want to be associated with that. And I'm not saying that the cross is bad, but I'm just, I want you, as we study, we want the truth, don't we? And as we study, we need to know why. See, no, the cross, it was a shameful, you wouldn't catch a Jew wearing a cross. And now, you know, I was watching one of the awards programs. It's been a few years back, and this guy came on, and he had a cross. It was so big, he had a big one. I mean, it was a chain and had, about like that. I'm not saying it was, but mine was, you know what I did, though? I didn't know who he was. I'm sure the young people, if I call you now, oh, Brooke, yeah, you don't know him. No, I didn't know who he was. They're like, you don't know who Marvin Gaye is. Amen, somebody. or words, I should say. But I Googled one of his songs, the guy's songs, and I couldn't listen to no more than the first, about two lines of it. And after I listened to two lines, you know what I said? He need to take that cross. He need to take that cross off. That's what he need to do. Now, and I'm not, it's because, now I would see the name of Jesus. See, this is me. If I would wear anything, if I had a charm or something that I would wear, me personally, I wanted to say Jesus. Just me. I wanted to say, church, ain't no shame in the name of Jesus. That now the early Christians also they did have a symbol. There was, you know, the fish, the Itychus. I think this is pronounced Itychus. Itychus. It stood for the name in the name of Jesus. It was a fish symbol. And actually, it had pagan origin before the Jews used it. There's pictures of it. It had pagan origin before the Jews. But the Jews, many of them, it was a secret symbol for those. The Romans crucified Jesus, and it was a symbol that they used to identify who was a Christian and who wasn't, and who was a believer. And sometimes they would write it even on the walls, or leave a sign in the sand, and one would make one symbol that way, and if somebody else made the other symbol, they knew that they were a believer. And so it has some positive. And then now, you know, there are some things that people have that have Jesus on them. And I just mentioned that to see for us to understand that God has exalted the name of Jesus above every name. And the scriptures say about Jesus that every person who has ever lived, that will ever live, will one day bow down at the name of Jesus. Yeah. You watched the Olympic ceremonies, opening ceremonies. Beautiful. I saw part of it the other night, and I just that's so amazing spectacle. And you know, we see the athletes, and we, man, great. And they perform, and it's, oh, great. Oh, it's wonderful. And I love it. I love people who dedicate their time and they discipline themselves to, and they do these, but we magnify, we lift people, we go to concerts and we pay. How much the concert costs now? Yeah, you know how much they cost. Act like you don't know. And we go, you know what I was watching? And you know, sometimes at the concert, people stand up the whole time. You know, I'm not going to no concert now. They stand up the whole time. And so if you sit down, you can't see nothing. We come to the Lord's house to praise the Lord for an hour and a half. And when you get to announcements, everybody leaving. Of those who are in heaven and on earth, in the scripture say, and underneath the earth, everybody. There is not anything else more important for you to know about while you are living than the name of Jesus. Amen. And then it says to all of us, especially those who believe, those who want to hear tonight, and every tongue will confess. Not only will you bow, will confess that Jesus is Lord. You know what Lord is. Everybody's going to say it. And some things, you know, you study and read. You get vindictive when you think about it. I want to hear. There's some people that I've talked to who, you know, I've talked to somebody think they know everything. And in your mind, they think they know everything, but they don't know nothing. And the scriptures say, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You know what the word confession means? To acknowledge. Notice, I don't know what our body's going to be like. I don't know how, but I'm just going by what the scriptures say. It says, confession is you do that with your mouth. I've told you stories how my brothers used to make me say some stuff that I never wanted to say. I say my brothers were really, you know, they'd be playing with you, but I'm the youngest boy, and they would twist my arms, put my arms in the back, and say, I'm your daddy. Call me daddy. I ain't calling you nothing. Call me daddy. Call daddy. Woo. And the question remains, will you confess his name voluntarily? I'm supposed to be talking about his death. I'm still going on time. I'm talking about his death. And I wanted to, you don't know. I wanted to dramatize. I did. I did this message. I prayed about it. I was going to bring in a big punching bag. You know, one of those heavy bags. Some of you know. I have it. I was going to bring it in. I was going to set it up right over here. And I was going to demonstrate to you how Jesus was whipped. And I wanted to use that bag. And I looked up and I was about to buy the whip online. But I was still studying it. And after I kept studying, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you why. I wanted to do it. But I want to read scripture. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 14. Everybody all right? This is actually 1,000 years before this actually happens. And I wanted you to, because I want to be a little intellectual with you to see, you know, I talked about earlier when we were talking about his birth and the the intellectual side of us examining so we'll believe it more, this prophecy. Any of you are academic at all, study some of the prophecies, because you have to attest just by the time the documents were written and then the time of the actual event. Even some people who question the event of Jesus, the time that it was written about, you have to say, well, this was spoken about 1,000 years before this was even done. And this is David, and this is what he says, and he's talking about the death of Jesus, and he says in verse 14, I'm poured out like water. And he speaks in the personal, I'm poured out like water, but you know he's not talking about himself. And you know, there's a term that we use sometimes, we're weak as water. And you, if you haven't been, you've been sick and tired to the point that you just had no energy at all. And he says, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. And the only way that can happen is that he's on the cross. And this is probably the most dramatic that you will get the account of Jesus's death and what's going on, because the New Testament writers are matter of fact, and they don't over dramatize. I know many of you have seen the movie The Passion of Christ, and one man who saw the movie, he says there's no way the scriptures could do justice to the death of Jesus like this movie has. And I saw The Passion of Christ, and it was very dramatic and gross and blood, and it touched my heart, and I cried tears. But if this man is true, then what he's saying is the word of God is not enough to illustrate to us what Jesus did for us. And that's, guess what? Everybody's not going to see the movie. And so don't be going around trying to see everything in Technicolor. Because in real life, there is no music playing in the background when you're at your job. When it's time to make a decision. You don't have the bright light shining and showing the right side and the color and muscles glistening. We're in everyday life. Sometimes life is just black and white. And nothing's playing. It's just you and your conscience and God. And David, he's at a weary time even in his life. And God has given him this revelation, and he says, all my bones are out of joint. And some of us don't even know, can't fathom what that even feels. Some of you that have dislocated your shoulders or your elbows, you may perhaps can get kind of close to, you know what it means to have your bones out of joint. Said, my heart is like wax. It's melted within me. This is Jesus. My strength is dried up. Use a term like a pot shoot, like a cracked pot. He's obviously dehydrated to the point. Some of you, the joggers, he's so dehydrated. The fluid is leaving his body. His heart is like wax. Says, my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You know, he's dry as a bone. He's clamored. Says, you lay me in the dust of death. And at some point when Jesus was dying, they had to lay him down, to nail the nails in his hand, in his feet. He says, for dogs have surrounded me. Says, notice this, a band of evildoers has encompassed. You know, everybody that's talking about you, laughing at you, not wishing you well, speaking evil against you, they got me encompassed on every side. It says, they pierced my hands and my feet. It says, I can count all my bones. And then he says, they look and they stare at me. This just tells us that Jesus is fully conscious. You know, you in pain, but you seeing everything and you hearing everything. You know, my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, it seemed like she had X-ray ears. she be in one room and people be talking, and you go in the room and she said, I heard y'all was talking about it. And she's like, well, Grandma, how you hear that? She said, I heard you. It's just like I'm standing up here right now, and all these people, Jesus is up high in the spectacle, and he's hurting in pain, but he's conscious. And you can hear people, you know, his eyes, they look at me, and you know how we can look. You know how we are when we're looking at people, and you know, we even talking to ourselves, look at that pitiful, he looks so nasty and ugly, and you know, what is he? I bet he ain't no king now. And he's, you know, you just a spectacle, and you know he has very little clothes on. And he says, they divide my garments among them. They gambling right below me. And they cast lots. Now notice this is David. And at this particular time, crucifixion hadn't even been invented. And then even Isaiah, he says in Isaiah 56, I gave my back to those who strike me. This is prophecy. My cheeks to those who pluck out my beard. I didn't cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Listen to Psalms 22:16. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Yeah. And then we get to the biblical narratives, the recording of the crucifixion of Jesus, the biblical narrative, the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For those of you that want to read more details of the different counts, they don't contradict one another, but they give different slants and different information in the Gospels. Some of them more, some of them less. I wish I had time to read them all. But one of the amazing things is how the dramatics are omitted. And even to know when you're reading the gospel, you know that these were written by people, notice, people, human beings, who deeply loved Jesus. They loved him. But it doesn't, this vindictive reporting is undetectable. It's just matter of fact. Can you imagine a CNN reporter writing about the death of Jesus? You know, we sensationalize everything, but in our sensationalism, we stimulate the atmosphere for vengeance and hate from somebody. Amen. Maybe, Lord, maybe that's what God was doing when the Holy Spirit gave the writers what to write. I want you to write the facts. And I want you to write. And I want you to communicate to the people. But I want them to see my love. Because I don't want them to hate anybody for who they are. But I want them to know the truth. Listen, in Luke chapter 22, verse 33. Luke 2, 33. When they came to the place. This is just part of the account. When they came to the place called the Skull. The Bible just simply says they crucified him and the criminals. One on the right, the other on the left. Listen to John chapter 19, verse 17. John 19, 17. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross. You know, you can just see our writers today. Yes, Jesus, he had his cross. The cross was heavy, and he couldn't hardly carry the cross. And he dropped down, and people were laughing. And one man said this, and another lady said that. And they were pointing at him and sneering and making jokes at Jesus. As they were giving all of this extra stuff. But the Bible, it doesn't do so much of that. And he says to the place called the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. In verse 18, there they crucified him. And with him, two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. So maybe that's why some people think it's just a joke. Maybe some people think it's just another death. But it's Jesus on the cross. The innocent one who died on the cross for all of our sins. And some of the sayings that Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, see, now that would have been however you want to think, but if my child would have said that, Daddy, for God not to act, for God to hold his peace, for God that's why, church, this is serious. That's why he says, for this reason, God has exalted Jesus above every. His word is not going to be void. He's going to do what he said. He says, one day, everybody in the world is going to acknowledge my son. Whether they want to or not, whether they come to church or not, whether they study the Bible or not, whether they live right or not, it's going to happen. Because when my son was saying on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I wanted so bad to save my son. But I didn't do it because I love you. Amen. Jesus, he was the ultimate finisher. Ultimate finish. In Jonah chapter 19, verse 30, it says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He said, it's finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. The ultimate finish. My dad used to tell us, son, if you start something, finish it. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. I didn't know what he was, you know. You're not going to let me quit, is what I used to say. I didn't understand it then. I understand it better now. I mean, if you're going to start it, you count the cost first. Amen. Paul said it in 2 Timothy 4, 7, I fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, for we have become partakers with Christ. Notice, if we hold fast. Folk who teach you, once you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if once you get in the right relationship with God, you can't lose. You please read your Bible. Read your Bible. Just read it and believe what the Bible says. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm, the scriptures say, until the end. Jesus, his death. When we deliver the invitation, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, what do you mean, Brother Gary? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Them are those who diligently seek him. Yeah. See, notice this. you hear God's word, you believe with all your heart, you must be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, Nate, but except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. You must be willing to confess. Confess what? Confess Jesus. Acknowledge him before men. And Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. It's as simple as that. And you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Anybody in here need to be baptized today? See, when we baptize, we're baptized, we put on Christ. We put on Christ. What do you mean we put on Christ? We put on his teaching. We put on his example. We attest that we believe that he did come, he lived, he died for our sins, and he was resurrected. He buried, he got up. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Briefly tonight is resurrection. Yeah. And you too, that's what happens when we baptize. Amen. Oh, you make God happy. We make God happy when we acknowledge Jesus. More than that, when we obey Jesus. You're here today, you want to be baptized into Christ. You can do that today. If you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here today and you need to get something right, you need to do that before you leave here. Amen. Won't you come to Jesus as we stand and sing the song?
I am resolved no longer.